So today's topic is very useful, very beneficial, because we all have this problem. As we sit for meditation, physical discomforts you may have. Sometimes you may have a backache or headache or not feel well, but that's not so much of a problem that you can take care of. Take a Tylenol or, you know, stretch or something. But the mind is the biggest problem. I personally have been meditating regularly for 22 years, and I still find some days the mind is very calm, and then some days it is running. You know, I think the main reason for that happening, I find, is that whatever I have done the day before, if the day before has been stressful, lot of conflicts, very busy, worked too hard, or had some stressful situation, then in the morning your mind is running. But on the other hand, if your day has been relatively peaceful, quiet, friendly, less busy, then your mind is more trained, more quiet, it's more ready. And also they say that slowing down, you know, what we do is we are too rushed, too active. Okay, I have to do this and this and this and this. Do two or three things at one time. So doing one thing at a time, focusing on what I'm doing. And in general, reducing unnecessary activities as much as you can. Certain things we have to do. You don't have a choice. But if there are certain things I can avoid, try to do that. And in my case, since I have been now in practice for 35 years, now in the last year or two, I have consciously made a decision to cut down. I worked very hard all these years, but now I avoid going to the hospital, taking hospital call, doing more outpatient. Thursday afternoon, I take off before I come and relax, you know. So like that, I'm trying to slowly cut down. And I'm working basically about 4 days a week. So that way, then when you are less, because I used to be too busy, you know, till working till 8 o'clock at night, weekends. Now my weekends are free. I'm usually done by 5. So making a conscious effort to slow down and reduce unnecessary work. You know, for not all of us, it's not possible. But wherever I can, if I can reduce the work, that helps to quieten the mind. So the mind that is less stressed during the day will have a good meditation. And there are a few other pointers which we'll go over, as many as we can. A lot of them are in the book. If we don't cover, you can go over it later. But I'll try to give you things that are not in the book, so that way, you know, at least something from my own experience or from my own study. And then this you can always read. So there is an example of a chariot. As we know, the Bhagavad Gita, those of you who have been coming to the Sunday class, the student is Arjuna, who is a warrior, and the teacher is the Lord himself, Krishna himself. And Krishna is his charioteer. So the Lord of the universe actually agrees to drive his chariot. And Arjuna is faced with a very challenging situation where he doesn't know what to do, doesn't know what is my duty. You know, in the Gita class, we do cover it in more detail. So the chariot example applies very good to our mind. I won't go into the details of this example, of this story, because we don't have time. But see, just as the Lord is driving the chariot, so and the individual, Arjuna, is sitting in the chariot as the Lord, so you and I, as the ego, sit in this chariot of this body. So this body is my chariot in which I, can I just have my pointer, please? The individuality, the ego, the perceiver, feeler, thinker, Anil, who is a male, who is a doctor. So I ride in this chariot of this body. Now, the chariot has 5 horses, you know, 5 white horses. So what are my horses? The 5 horses are the sense organs. With the eyes I see, with the ears I hear, with the nose I smell, tongue I taste, the skin I touch. So I see, hear, smell, taste and touch all the objects of the world. So the horses that are running into the world are my sense organs that are looking out. Let me see what's happening. Let me hear what's happening. Let me taste this. Let me smell this. And where do the horses run? Just as the horses run on the road, You know, horses cannot run in air, they run on the road. So similarly, my sense organs run in the sense objects. So I always want to see more. I want to, somebody's talking, oh, what's going on? Or something I haven't eaten, let me taste. So seeing, hearing, tasting, touching, smelling. So these five sense organs work in the sense objects. They are the roads in which these sense organs run. Now the horses are controlled by reins. You know, the horseman has reins in his hand. When there are multiple horses, they have five reins. And each rein controls one horse. And so the horse driver pulls the reins. Or if he wants the horses to go faster, he will release it. And then the horses will run faster. If he pulls the reins, the horses will slow down. And if he completely pulls with pressure, then the horses stop. So what are the reins that control my sense organs? The mind. The mind is the one that controls my sense organs, that tells the eyes, let's see this, let's hear this, let's eat this, let's smell this, let's taste it, let's find out. So the mind is the curious one. And the mind is always running outside. Mind wants to know what's happening, what's going on, why is it happening, blah, blah, blah. And the job of the mind is to look outward. But the problem with the mind is that the mind needs to be controlled by an intellect, by an informed intellect. Intellect is the discriminating capacity which decides what is right and what is wrong. In the case of our warrior, the Arjuna, the intellect is the Lord himself. The Lord is the one holding the reins. So in my mind, who should control? The Lord within, working through the informed intellect. So an intellect that has got the right knowledge and the Lord within Om is guiding this intellect. So when the intellect controls the mind, which controls the sense organs, then the chariot of the body will go in the right direction. If the mind is left to do whatever it pleases, then it takes us anywhere and everywhere. If there are some wrong ideas or wrong thoughts, the mind says, come on, it's okay, let's just do it. Nobody's watching, let me just cheat a little or let me do something wrong. And the mind, because of its desires, it wants more, it wants to do things even dishonest. But if the intellect is wise and functioning under the direction of the Lord within, then it will say no. The mind wants to go, but it cannot. So just as the horse driver can control the reins and control the senses, control the horses with the reins pulling it, so similarly the intellect within should control the mind and in that process control the senses. So the most important is the intellect, which is the discriminating capacity, which decides what is right, what is wrong, what I should do, what I should not do. And the intellect should be guided by the scriptures, by the religious texts, which tell us what is my duty, what I should do. So in this case, the mind, if it is not under the control, then it will run wild and it will do whatever it pleases. So that is what, and that's why when we sit for meditation, the first thing the mind starts, takes off, just runs. So how do we control the mind? I'll just go in brief. There is a lot of things to talk about. First of all, the steps, you know, following the meditation steps, that means sit erect, eyes closed, relax the body, observe the breath, and chant the mantra. So follow those meditation steps very carefully. And then this breathing that we do, you know, with the anulom vilom, that is very good to start the meditation, which we have started doing now. Then it says that the mental energy should be directed. Because the mind has so much energy, it's so powerful. The mind can take you in the wrong direction or lead you in the right direction. If it follows the instructions, it will go right. If it doesn't, it will go wrong. And it can very easily divert us. You know, I'm supposed to prepare for a test or I have some very important project. And the mind says, come on, it's okay. You know, let's go for a movie. Let's have some fun or let's, you know, go out and have a drink or go with friends. So the mind easily gets diverted, but the intellect has to say, no, wait a minute, tomorrow I have an important test or I have a project and this is, you know, what we are supposed to do. And the mental energy in meditation should be focused in one direction, and that is the Lord. because that is very important. In because the power of the mind, if it's focused, it can achieve anything. If you look at all these great masters, you know, how much they focused. All these great scientists, look at Einstein, look at Newton, how when he discovered the law of gravity, Archimedes, when he discovered the Archimedes, there are so many stories of how. But if the mind is allowed to do what it wants, what it likes, what it doesn't, you know, we do what we like, I don't do what I dislike, then the mind is not directed. So likes and dislikes have to be reduced. Talking about likes and dislikes, this lady was telling her friend, you know, my husband had a bad heart attack. She said, really, how did it happen? He said, you know, he never watched his diet. And I kept telling him, he never listened. And so he had a bad heart attack. He almost died. The surgeons had to do emergency bypass and saved him. And he's now, thank God, well. So she says, oh, really? And the lady says, you know, my children sent him flowers for his recovery. So she says, what did you send him? You know, he's recovering from a heart attack. She said, I sent him a large pepperoni pizza with extra cheese. Because he never listened to her, so she's angry with him. So we have to direct our mental energy inward. And one of the very important factor when the mind runs is be very alert. And that's my biggest problem. The mind is very quiet, it's very peaceful, and I'm enjoying the silence, and you know, mind is inward, and suddenly it takes off. Either what I have to do today or what I did yesterday. And even foolish things like, what am I going to eat for lunch? I'm like, come on, you know, you're meditating upon the Lord and you're worried about lunch. But that's how the mind is. You can't control it. Or whom am I going to meet? So I said, look, this is not the time. So you bring the mind back. The mind will run. You bring it back. And you train the mind to stay in the center of meditation, the point of meditation, that is the Lord's presence within. So the mind with practice. So it says, be quiet, alert, and vigilant. Our master Swami Chinmayananda used to say, the mind should be made quiet. And with alert, vigilant status, the mind should be watched. And okay, the mind is going. No, bring it back. Going, bring it back. And soon the mind gets tired of running and then it says, okay, I might as well stay. So train the mind through alertness and bringing it back. Then there are many other techniques besides watching the breath and the mantra. There are other techniques for the mind likes variety. So what are the other techniques? Some of them we have done. Today maybe we'll try some new techniques. So one is meditating on nature, so which we'll do today. You close your eyes and you visualize a very beautiful scene in nature, and we'll practice that today. So meditating on nature, it could be the sunrise, or it could be the ocean, could be the mountains, could be the beach. So meditate on nature. Or you can do what is called open eye meditation. So if you have the Lord's form, maybe you have Jesus on the cross, or you have Krishna, or you have Buddha, whatever your deity, the one whom you love, the Lord, could be the Guru's form. So you can, from open eyes, you can start from the head and focus on each part of the Lord's form, his beauty, his love, his compassion, how Jesus, how he's love does, how he sacrificed, Krishna's qualities, Buddha's, you know, loving nature, Guru Nanak's qualities, teachings. So from the head, you go all the way to the toe, focusing on each aspect of the Lord's form, and ultimately focus on one aspect. Okay, I just focus on the Lord's eyes, or just on his feet, and I bow down at his feet, or just focus on his loving smile. So keep your attention on one, and ultimately that mind becomes so focused. And at the same time, you keep the qualities of the Lord, because the Lord is all love, compassion. So when you concentrate upon the Lord, then you get those qualities of the Lord. So that is called open eye meditation. Also while driving, not that you let your mind wander, but just become a witness and watch. Driving may be difficult, but say if I'm doing something that is very routine or mechanical, like I'm walking on the treadmill, or I'm doing the dishes, or I'm doing the vacuuming, instead of saying, why do I have to do the dishes? Why do I have to vacuum? Become a witness and say, I'm watching who is doing the dishes. So the dishes can become meditation, or walking on the treadmill. I sometimes do that. When I'm walking, I hold on to the sides. And then I say, let me pay attention to who is making me walk. This body is walking, but what is it that is the Lord's presence? What is it that is making me walk? How am I able to walk? So pay attention to the source, or the source of consciousness, the energy within that is making me walk. So your treadmill, instead of becoming a boring activity, I used to watch TV or listen to music. Now if I'm on the treadmill, or I'm on the cross trainer or the Nordic track or whatever, I just turn my attention, I close my eyes, because there you don't need to concentrate. Close my eyes and pay attention to that. And so that 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes can become a meditative exercise. So that is called open eye meditation. Then they say that in the evening before you go to bed, either read some good books, like books like this or any other good books. We have so many in the office, if you have your own, or books that have inspiring stories. I find that reading stories of saints is beautiful. Any saint, you look at the life of Jesus, or Saint Francis, or Teresa of Avila, or in our Hindus, the saints, like Swami Chinmayananda, or Shankaracharya, or Tukaram, or Guru Nanak, or Buddha, what kind of problems they went through. So read about the lives of great saints. And it doesn't have to be only your faith. Any saint, if you find how inspiring it is, how they faced all the problems, all the obstacles, and kept their focus on the Lord. And we find that the world is particularly harsh on saints and sages, because they see we are all going in one direction. They are telling us, no, you have to go in this direction. And nobody likes to be told, we are all going here, and who is this guy to tell us that we should go this way? So let's beat him up. Instead of saying that we are going wrong and evaluating, we actually pick on the person. So that's why the prophets and the saints have been consistently mistreated, because they were so much ahead of the curve. They were thinking outside the box, like they say. And we don't like that. So read the stories of saints. Then we say the mind should be treated like a child. What do you mean, like a child? Like a child is misbehaving, running around. So the mother has various techniques. Those who are mothers have dealt with children, they know that. The first thing is lovingly. Like the child must be given love. Because if the child is not given love, then it grows up deprived of love. So love is very important. Not to spoil the child or let them do whatever they want, but show that you love them. So similarly, the mind should be lovingly brought. Look, why are you running around? Why are you misbehaving? Let us sit down. It's such a wonderful opportunity. We have this half an hour to think about the Lord, and we are going to be in the presence of the Lord in meditation. So let us sit for half an hour. There's no need to run around. So lovingly bring the mind back, not with anger, not with why is my mind running? Why is it misbehaving? Why doesn't it listen? One is we get angry with the mind. No, just lovingly. It's okay. You don't need to run around. Then another thing they say is you can promise the mind. Okay, now let us sit for half an hour. And the mind wants to think about a project, or mind wants to think about what I have to do, or where I have to go, or something very exciting is going to happen during the day. Something, fun. Maybe we're going to go for a picnic, or go to Disneyland, or Magic Mountain, or go for a party, something good. Yeah, we'll think about it, we'll talk about it, but not right now. So you sit with me for half an hour, mind. And then after that, you can think about the project, what you want. You can think about the fun, about the party. So you make a deal with the mind. Okay, let us sit together. And these all techniques can be used, and depending on what works for you, something may work for you, something may not. So you promise the mind that, yes, I will do what you want to do, but For now, you do what I am telling you. So you make a deal, you know, let's make a deal. Or the mind's curiosity. You know, mind, don't you want to experience what all the great saints have experienced? All the great sages, they spent years in meditation, and you and I have the opportunity to experience that, because meditation gives us the, of course, we may not have the same experience as the saints who were very evolved, but a little taste of that we can get when the mind becomes quiet. And those of you who have been meditating regularly for a while, and the mind is still and experiences that inner joy, wow, it's so wonderful, the inner peace. And then you want it to stay longer. You don't want the meditation to end. So you tell the mind, let us experience that joy, you know, that is possible. You don't only have to find joy in eating or drinking or sense pleasures or having fun outside. You can find much greater joy within. So you promise the mind that we'll do it later. And increase its curiosity. Then they say, suppose the mind still doesn't listen, and the mind is racing, and you have tried for 2-3 days and it doesn't just want to stay, and you get very upset. So just as a child, if he totally disregards what you have told repeatedly, doesn't listen, then what do you do? Unfortunately, we have to punish the child. Maybe not physically beat the child, but maybe tell him, okay, you can't have your phone for 3 time out. Maybe sit in the corner if the child is small. If it's older, maybe, okay, you can't have your phone, you can't have your car. So that's how we encourage the child to do the right thing. So the mind also has to know discipline. And so the discipline can be, okay, today, all day we'll not eat. We only have water and liquids. The mind likes food. It's okay, today, whole day, because you have been misbehaving for last 3-4 days. So not to punish repeatedly. It's not that, okay, every day I'm going to fast. Also, you know, all the scriptures talk about fasting. Fasting is another way to develop strength of the mind. Like the Christians in the Easter time, they give up something they like for 1 month. The Muslims fast for a whole month in Ramadan. In Hindus, on the 11th day of the moon, Ekadashi, they fast. So, fasting or other living in moderation is a way to control the mind, or is also a way to tell the mind, okay, you have not been listening. In the book, he also talks about getting up and taking a cold shower. Okay, because your mind, you didn't listen to me, so I'm going to give you a cold shower. Of course, my own body is getting the shower. But the idea is that some form of discipline. So then the mind remembers, yesterday I was running around and I got a cold shower, today I shouldn't. So, I mean, not to do it routinely, but if the extreme, you know, situation happens where the mind doesn't listen, like a child is extremely disobedient, extremely not cooperating, then the parent unfortunately has to do that. So telling the mind, look, if you don't sit today, and don't sit for meditation, unfortunately, I'll have to punish you. And then carry it out. If I've decided I'm going to get up and take a cold shower, take a cold shower. If I've decided I'm not going to eat today, don't eat. So that way you strengthen your mind's ability. So fasting on a regular basis, but specifically as a thing that, okay, the mind didn't listen today, so we have to fast or we have to take a cold shower. So the point is that all these things tell us that the main goal of meditation can be achieved by sincerity. I have to be sincere. I have to meditate every day. I mean, rarely once in a while if I miss is okay, but generally every day. And I try as much as possible. I started with 20 minutes or half an hour. And my son was talking to me on the phone and he said, Dad, how long do you meditate? Just a few minutes before you came. And I actually now try to meditate 1.5 hours every morning, generally, at least an hour, right? At least an hour. I wake up early. I can manage with less sleep. And so I wake up early. I wake up between 4 and 5 in the morning, and then at least an hour, 1.5 hours. And I find that it's not easy to get to that. I started in 1995, but slowly increase it, because then you start enjoying. It's no longer a chore or a punishment. I look forward to my meditation. It's not that, oh, why do I have to meditate an hour or hour and a half? I enjoy that. I willingly do it. But start with 20 minutes, half an hour, do it every day. And then as you're getting the benefit of it, slowly increase it. It's like any other exercise. You know, you start slow. Then as you see the benefit, you increase the time, you increase the severity. Like on your treadmill, you can increase the slope, or you can increase the on your cross trainer. So slowly you increase the duration. Like I used to walk on the treadmill 10 minutes, then 20 minutes, then 30 minutes, and also increase the severity, raising the inclination. So similarly, the mind slowly should be trained. And that can only happen when I'm convinced of the benefit of meditation. And in my video, has everybody watched that? You know, what, why, when, where, how, why we should meditate. Have you seen that? You have?
No.
Both of you? I'll send it to you. Give me your email at the end, please. You have, right? Have you seen that video? What, why? Okay, I'll send it to all of you, please, at the end. I think you have, both of you have. You have too. But it's on the website, but I'll send it to you. What is the benefit of meditation? What is meditation? When should we meditate? Where? Why should we meditate and how? So that video I always give to newcomers. Maybe somehow I might have missed. So I must be convinced of the benefit of meditation, and I must become a sincere seeker. That my goal of life now, yes, I still have to do my work, but my main goal of life is to know the self, to become self-realized, to know God, to reach God, and the fastest and the best way is through meditation. Regular, sincere meditation is very, very important, very beneficial. And for me personally, I think that's the best thing I ever done for myself. And that's why I willingly sit every morning. Nobody has to force me. Nobody has to tell me. And meditation becomes a joy, because once you experience that inner joy, that inner bliss, then you want it more and more. And sometimes I get that inner joy. Sometimes I don't. The mind runs. But I then try to, like, yesterday I had quite a stressful day. I had a very difficult patient and I was dealing with her for several hours. So this morning my mind was racing, you know, but I know why it was. So today my mind has been more peaceful. Things have been going well. So hopefully tomorrow will be good. So pay attention and be a seeker, a sincere seeker who is convinced that my goal of life is to know God. To reach God, and through meditation is the best step, is the best technique, at least I have found, helps. All the other things are good, doing service, you know, serving the world as the God, loving God and singing beautiful songs, listening to songs in my car, reading good books. But meditation combines all of those, because it's the highest thing we can do. So these are the few steps for taming the mind. Controlling the mind with the intellect and being a witness. Another beautiful technique is the mind is racing. So instead of forcing the mind to come back, I just watch the mind. Okay, the mind is thinking about lunch, thinking about movie, thinking about party. Okay, go ahead. I'm just watching. And a watched mind is a quiet mind. The moment you start watching the mind with your intellect, the mind becomes quiet. So take the attitude of a witness. Okay, mind, you want to run, go ahead. Let me see where you're going. Let me watch. And the moment you do that, the mind, like a child running around, if the mother is watching, then he won't do that. So same way. So these are some of the techniques. You can pick whichever one works for you. In the book, Swamiji has given all these techniques, you know, and so please go home and read this chapter. And some of them may work, some of them may not work. Each one of us has to come up with his or her own technique. So this is where we are. Any questions, any comments?
Looking at, with me, like today, I read it before I came.
Yes.
And I have not done, because normally when you meditate,
you close your eyes.
You close your eyes.
Right.
And you know what? It just... I imagine, my eyes are closed, but I imagine I'm looking at Guru Nanak, you know?
Very good.
And yeah. So that brought back like how if I open my eye, then I thought, let me practice that way. If I look at Guru Nanak, and then my mind was like, Guru Nanak's face, the eyes, expression is going with my own mind, how mm-hmm. I am thinking. I mean, how it's weird. I got all involved in that. Then I thought, this is not going to work for me.
So then what the other option is, you see, look at the form,
yes.
then you close your eyes and try to remember.
Yeah.
That's another beautiful technique
normally,
of meditation.
Yeah, that's
right.
What, that's
that
awesome.
You can do that,
yes,
right.
I imagine my eyes are
right.
closed, but I see that I've been washed.
Yes.
I've been washed. And I'm telling my mind, you've been washed. Watch yourself. You've
Good.
Been washed. I'm not only, I'm witnessing it. But there's somebody else.
The Lord is witnessing, right?
Yeah, the Lord is witnessing.
Guru is witnessing. So same thing with Jesus. You
yeah.
can visualize his form, how compassionate and kind he is, or Krishna or Buddha or the Guru. So you can visualize with open eyes, or you can see it with open eyes and then close your eyes and try to remember every detail. Like when you go to church and you see that form, look at it for a while and then close your eyes and try to remember every detail. So that,
so
but
that
yeah,
make me think
yes.
that I after when I read the book, I said, wow.
Yes.
It makes sense, and it makes.
Absolutely.
You have to treat it, mind is like a child.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, read this chapter when you go home. You all have the book. All of you have it, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so please read it when you go home. Yes.
Yes, I have a question, but I have to explain why I asked a question.
Sure.
Okay, the question is, can the mind talk to us? And that, why am I asking the question is because I remember at the age of 13 or so, I started to make an experiment about with my mind. I was bored. And so I said, so from now on, I'm going to say, Victor, do this or don't do this. But I didn't know what was going on, but I developed that habit, and then I started like talking like this, like what I'm doing at school work or things. But I was wondering if I was using the intellect or the mind was doing the work, or what was that?
No, actually you can separate yourself from the mind with practice, because the mind and the intellect can be separated. Yes, the intellect or the consciousness within. So it is actually you talking to yourself, but there are two aspects. One is the mind. See, we say there are two aspects of our personality. One is the mind, which is wavering, which is not clear, and the intellect, which is clear. So yes, you can talk to your mind, and does not mean that you are crazy or anything. Or you can be talking to your lower nature, you know, the perceiver, feeler, and thinker. Why are you doing this? So yes, the mind you can talk to, and the mind can talk back. Yes, mind can reply. Short answer is yes. There's nothing wrong with that. But idea is to channel the mind in the right direction. Okay, come on. That's what I do. I say, come on, why are you running? Let's sit. So you make two people. Come on, I and the mind. Let us sit down and meditate. Let us think about the Lord. Let us experience that. I say, you have the chance to experience the Lord within, and you're worrying about lunch or party or where am I going to go. Those are such a, you say, from the sublime to the ridiculous. You have a chance to experience the sublime and you are in the ridiculous, you know, thinking. So yes,
we all do that. I talk to myself a lot, and
yeah,
you think I'm crazy. My kids say, Mom, who are you talking to? I'm just telling, why are you worried about that? It's nothing to do with me.
Right.
And, you know, it sounds weird, but...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I talk to myself all the time. Why are you being so stupid? Why are you...
Why are you worried about that?
Same question, totally different perspective. So, at some point where I'm when I was reaching adulthood, I start saying, no, this might be wrong, so I'm going to start not talking to myself. And then I transform that into a sensation. Instead of a mental voice or imaginary voice, I use a sensation, like a sensation of, okay, so now it's time to do not to do that or quit doing that. But it was a sensation, not a word, not a sound.
Yeah, that's fine too. That's the same thing, the resolve. Yes.
Yeah.
So when you're convinced of what is right, then yes, that's the same thing. It's a resolution. It's resolving. Either a sensation or a voice. Yeah, that's both the same. You're basically talking to yourself either audibly or through suggestion. Anything else? Okay, just an announcement. Next week, we do have a class, November 16th. Yes, we will have a regular class. 23rd and 30th, there will be no class. 23rd is Thanksgiving, November, and November 30th, I am out of town. So there won't be a class on November 30th. But on November 30th, we have some beautiful chanting going on in the hall. So if you do show up and you want to sit, you're most welcome. It will be from 5 to 8. And they're chanting the Bhagavad Gita, which is our text. But it will be very sweet, very melodious. So it's from 5 to 8. There's a flyer outside on the door. You can read that. And then at the end, they also have dinner. So you're welcome to stay for dinner. So on the 30th, there will be some chanting, Bhagavad Gita chanting in the hall. But there won't be a meditation class. So from 5 to 8, you don't have to stay all the time 5 to 8. You can come at 6, 6:30, 7. Stay till 8, you know, listen to the chanting, and then you can have dinner afterwards. And then December, we'll have, of course, we'll resume the classes December 7 and 14. And then the last two Thursdays of December will be Christmas, so we'll be closed. So I'll next week, I'll announce the December schedule also. So this is, so next week we do have a class, but then we'll be quiet, silent for 2 weeks. Anything else? Okay, if you can just put all the three bars down. Yeah. Is it okay? Should we put off the light? We can even put it off. Just put it off. Yeah, that's good. You want to put off both? Yeah, is it too dark? No, we'll get used to it. The green light, I like that.
Okay.
Just sit in the chair and there is some light coming from outside. Everybody's okay?
Yes.
So take a resolve that for the next 20 minutes, I'm not going to let my mind wander. I'm going to keep it focused on the Lord's presence within. Eyes closed, back erect, but not stiff. Consciously relax your body from head to toe. Head to toe and then back from toes to the head. Pay attention to each part of the body and relax. Take slow, deep, long breaths. Deep breath in, hold it, and mentally chant Om as you breathe out. In, hold it, breathe out, chanting Om. Then after you breathe out, again hold it. So pay attention to the gap between inspiration and expiration. Let us do that a few times. Pay attention to the pause in between. Slow deep breaths and chant Om as you breathe out. Visualize a beautiful scene in nature. I'm sitting beside a lake. It's early morning. Beautiful, clear water in the lake. The lake is surrounded by trees. It's early morning, I'm hearing the chirping of the birds. I hear the wind rustling through the trees, shaking the leaves. It's a very cooling, gentle breeze. I feel so loved by nature. The lake is surrounded by tall, beautiful mountains. Mountains are covered with trees. They are bare at the top. I hear the sound of a stream coming down the mountain, a little waterfall. The water empties into this beautiful lake. Slowly the sky turns orange. The sun is about to rise. All the beautiful colors, the orange, the red, the pink. Reminds me of the majesty of God. What a beautiful artist he is. Slowly the sun is peeking out. Still looks like a red or orange ball. Slowly the sun rises and I can see the whole sun in its glory, in its beauty. The warm rays are very soothing, very nourishing. It is a little bit cool in the mountains. I welcome the sun's warmth. Then I turn my attention to who knows, who is watching, who is witnessing this beautiful scene. I see the Lord's glory inside and out. Inside me as life, outside me as nature, as beauty. Let us stay in that beautiful silence for a few minutes and experience the Lord's presence everywhere, especially within me as life. In the silence of the meditation, go deep within yourself and discover the inner peace, the inner joy. Nothing in the world can equal the joy of meditation. The mind wanders, go back to taking deep breaths and go within. Bring the mind back, if it wanders, to the inner silence.